Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Aditya Birla Capital Limited Q1 FY18 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal for an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ajay Srinivasan. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Good evening, everyone. On behalf of Aditya Birla Capital, I welcome all the participants on this earnings call. This is the first since our name has changed to Aditya Birla Capital, and will be the last one before we become an independent listed company. Let me spend a few minutes briefing you about our performance during the first quarter of FY18, after which we'll be very happy to take any questions you might have. With me on the call today, I'm joined by Pinky Mehta, CFO of Aditya Birla Capital, Rakesh Singh, CEO of our NBFC, and several other senior colleagues from our different businesses. The investor presentation and results have already been uploaded on the company's website, so I hope you've had a chance to go through the same. If not, I'm sure you'll have a chance to go through it later. Let me start by recapping the key highlights of the quarterly results. I'd like to start by updating you on the status of the listing of Aditya Birla Capital. The demerger of financial services business from Grasim was effective from 4th of July 2017. We then had to go to the Department of Economic Affairs for some approvals, which we finally received on August 11th. The allotment of shares for Aditya Birla Capital to the shareholders of Amalgamated Grasim based on the record date of 20th July has also been completed. We've now initiated the process for getting approvals from our stock exchanges, BSE and NSE, and thereafter with SEBI for our listing. In these things, it's always very difficult to estimate exactly how long the process will take. All I can say is we're aiming for completing this at the earliest possible. Let me now move to our consolidated earnings for the quarter. Our assets under management registered a robust 33% growth year-on-year to reach about 261,000 crores or about $40 billion at the end of Q1. Our consolidated lending book at 41,066 crores, approximately $6.3 billion, registered a very strong year-on-year growth of 43%. Our housing finance business is one of the fastest-growing in the industry, and its lending book doubled year-on-year. Under the IGAAP, our quarterly like-to-like consolidated revenues grew by 17%. Quarterly like-to-like earnings before tax at 359 crores registered a strong 30% year-on-year growth. This is after considering the losses of our newer businesses, which are still in the investment phase. As you may be aware, ABLL had transferred its 51% stake in Birla Sun Life Insurance to Aditya Birla Capital only with effect from 23rd March 2017. The numbers mentioned above actually include those of BSLI in the previous year to make performance comparable between the two periods. Let me now move on to our individual businesses and the highlights of those. Aditya Birla Finance, our NBFC business, ranks among the top five private diversified NBFCs in terms of the size of our loan book. Our lending book, excluding housing, was around 36,250 crores at the end of Q1, a growth of 38% year-on-year. Our portfolio quality continues to remain strong with our gross NPA at 0.5%, which compares very well with companies operating in similar lines of businesses. This, of course, is based on a 90-day DPD as compared to 0.71% last year, which was on a 120 DPD basis. We entered the personal and business unsecured loan market last year, and the book size of these together is now about 700 crores. These segments will be the acquisition engine for retail customers going forward. We reported an average return on equity of 14.3% per annum and an average return on assets of 1.94% per annum in this business in Q1. As we had a majority of our capital infusion in the last quarter, these ratios will continue to improve during the rest of the year, as happened last year as well. Internal accruals are growing at a very healthy rate in this business and supporting the book size growth. Our net worth in this business has now crossed 5,100 crores at the end of Q1. In the housing finance business, our loan book doubled year-on-year from 2,432 crores last year to 4,816 crores at the end of Q1. This business has turned profitable within seven quarters of full operation and reported a profitable quarter. Our net worth in this business has gone up to 421 crores. We've launched our affordable housing business under the banner of our housing finance company, and we expect this to be one of the additional growth drivers in this business going forward. In the asset management business, Aditya Birla Sun Life Asset Management Company has been outperforming the industry and consistently gaining market share with a strong focus on fund performance, which has helped us grow high margin and retail assets ahead of the market. We rank fourth in the industry today with total assets under management of about 2,25,000 crores, expanding our asset base by 38% year-on-year. Our total AUM market share has increased year-on-year to 10.5%. Within that, our equity AUM has expanded by 71% year-on-year, touching 60,000 crores. In fact, our equity AUM market share has risen to an all-time high of 8.9% at the end of Q1. At Aditya Birla Sun Life Insurance, the momentum of last year continues and we posted a 28% growth in individual new business premium in Q1. Our new banker tie-up with HDFC Bank has been activated from July 2017. Our focus on quality continued. Persistency has improved on the back of better sales practices, discontinuation of products with lower persistency, and much stronger revival efforts on our part. As a result, our 13-month persistency improved by about 600 basis points year-on-year to get to 70.1%. BSLI reported its traditional EV at 3,428 crores as on March 31st, 2017, and the value of our new business margin was 17.4% for the last fiscal year. As you know, we have in the past not used the MCEV methodology that some others in the industry use, but we will be computing our MCEV during this year. Aditya Birla Health Insurance was launched in November 16 with a very unique offering. We have in a very short period already covered more than 4 lakh lives across group and retail segments in this business. We've also activated multi-channel distribution. We've tied up with 4 banks, HDFC Bank, DCB, Ratnakar Bank and Deutsche Bank. We've empaneled almost 5,000 direct selling agents and over 200 brokers. And we've tied up with over 1,900 hospitals across 300 cities in this business. Aditya Birla Insurance Broker, which is ranked 5th in its industry, has improved its market share year-on-year from 2.3% to 2.75%. The profitability of our broking business has also improved year-on-year significantly while we are focusing on digital to build a technology-driven advisory and transacting platform. MyUniverse is now morphed into a multi-product transaction platform offering insurance, personal loans, mutual funds, credit cards, and all of this, making it a marketplace online. This, we think, will be another engine of growth in terms of online customers for us going forward. Our focus at Aditya Birla Capital is to continue to look for opportunities for profitable growth across our platform so we can continue to grow faster than the market. That endeavor will continue and we will continue to build profitable scale in each of the businesses in which we operate. With these remarks, I'd like to open it up now to any questions that you might have.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask a question, please press star and one. The first question is from Amit Premchandani from UTI Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir, and thanks for the opportunity. I just had a question on the overall lending book of around 41,000 crore. If you can give us kind of a ballpark figure of what percentage of the book is under moratorium in terms of repayment of principal or under moratorium in terms of repayment of interest?
So we don't have a ready number right now, but very few accounts which would be in a startup phase. Otherwise, most of our transactions and loans are equated monthly installments, which is payable from the month itself. So I don't think there will be many accounts where we will have this kind of arrangement.
Is it safe to assume that more than 95% of the book would be under EMI as of now?
Yeah, I think, but as I said, I don't have a ready number, but it should be.
We don't have a ready number. If like, we can get back to you.
Not only EMI, I think depending on, see, so we have different transactions, and wherever it's a term loan, there is a EMI. Wherever there is a LOC, there is an interest repayment. So I don't think moratorium, there would be too many loans where there would be a moratorium in terms of principal repayment and interest repayment.
And sir, on the project loan side, 15% of the book is project loan. What percentage would be power or either renewable or thermal?
In the project loan piece itself?
Yeah.
Again, I don't have that number offhand. I can get back to you with that. But I don't have that number right
away. Okay, sir. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from Nishant Shah from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Congratulations. Look forward to listing. I think three or four questions from my side. First, in the opening remarks, you mentioned that the unsecured or the personal loan segment is going to be your retail customer acquisition engine. So can you elaborate the strategy a little bit over there? Second question, again on retail, is like, what do you already have or what kind of tie-ups are you planning to have to acquire retail customers? So like you've seen some of the newer banks that got listed, they have tie-ups with say fintechs or with like established NBFCs. Are we looking to do any such thing? And third, again on retail, is what kind of arrangements or what kind of mining strategies can you have to tap retail customers just within the Aditya Birla Group like ecosystem? Like you will have a lot of dealers, you will have a lot of, you know, cement dealers and like all the other the channel partners of the different businesses within the group. So any strategy or anything that you've internally decided on how you will tap these things? These for now.
So I think you asked three questions. If I, on the first one, what is our strategy on personal loans and business loans? So we have been focusing on the retail business, and business loans have been a key driver for our business. So we reach out to MSMEs and SMEs to offer them the business loans. And this is driven both through the direct channel and the DSAs which we have. So that's the strategy on business loans. On personal loans, we have been tying up with the corporates in terms of how do we offer the personal loans to their employees. As we speak, close to around 23% of personal loans is offered to the employees of Aditya Birla Group. So we are looking at how do we leverage the existing ecosystem of the Aditya Birla Capital and the Aditya Birla Group. That's how we really want to. So it's a combination of both direct and indirect channel that we have been reaching out for these products. You also asked a question on how are we looking at leveraging the Aditya Birla Group ecosystem. So there are, for the large group companies within the group, there are suppliers, which is vendors and buyers. We look at discounting the supplies and the purchase. So we look at the entire transaction and we really fund the vendors and the channel partners as well. So that's the supply chain business which we have. So we are looking at really building this further as we go on, because I think it's a very rich SME database which we have within the group, and we want to really leverage that. What are the first questions?
Tie-ups.
Tie-ups, yes. I think if you look at, we have set up our own digital lending platform where we are reaching out to MSMEs, and also later in this year, we will be reaching out to the consumers for other consumer products. Here we are tying up with other startups, marketplace, and other in terms of, so we are looking at how do we really mine the customer base. So we are tying up with different agencies in terms of reaching out to these customers. So yes, we are looking at how do we collaborate and create partnerships to build alliances for this segment, which is more online and digital.
Okay. And like a just like a separate question on the life insurance business. So this is more so regarding the disclosures. So on the traditional basis, you have an EV of 3400 and an NBAP margin of around 17%. So I know it's a little bit early to try and comment on what this would look like on the IEV basis or the MCEV basis, but at least like qualitatively, can you just tell us ki whether this would be lower, higher, like substantially lower, substantially higher, some guidance over there?
Well, I can't give you specific guidance because the numbers are not yet finalized. But you know, if you look at the industry, you will see that MCEV is typically higher than traditional EV. And broadly, the range is between 8 and 10%. You can look at most people who do MCEV, EV. That is typically the range that comes. But for us, I can't answer that number yet because we don't have our own number yet.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Looking forward to listening.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Ankur Jain from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity and looking forward to the listing. My question is, at what is the ROE at Aditya Birla Capital level we are looking at first? And the second question is that how much of the capital we would require for the our NBFC and housing finance business in the coming years?
So I think ROE at the Aditya Birla Capital level actually doesn't make much sense, because I can give you a number, but I don't think it'll make any sense because we have a really very wide range of businesses that sit underneath. You know, some startups, some more mature businesses. I think to aggregate all of that and give you one ROE as a holding company, frankly, to my mind, doesn't make any sense. Your second question was the capital needs of NBFC and HFC really depends on the growth opportunity we have. I think it's very easy to figure out, depending on the growth, what capital will be required, because we know the leverage in each of these businesses. You know, our leverage typically is between 5.5-6 times in our NBFC, between 8-10 times in our HFC. So it's difficult to forecast what exactly the growth rate will be and therefore what the capital need will be. You can look at our growth rate last year and see the capital requirements we had last year. If we grow at the same rate, you know, you can assume that we'll need the same capital this year.
Okay, but if you can give a number, like somewhere around 1,000 crores you would need or something like that.
Yeah, 750.
So about 750 to 800 crores is what we used last year. So if we grow at the same rate as last year, that's what we need this year.
Okay, and how are we planning this approach? I mean, 2%, we have got 700 crores from PI investment. So are there any plans for any dilution or it would be through the internal approach?
See, under the scheme, we had a provision for another 5% to be placed with a strategic investor. So while you, as you say, with 2.2% from Premji, we have 704 crores that is coming to us. We also have a provision for another 5% to a strategic investor. And those discussions are ongoing. We don't know whether that will conclude this financial year or go over. That we factor that into, you know, to the equation when we look at our funding plans. But the Premji investment will broadly meet most of our funding requirements this year.
Okay. Thank you so much. We're looking forward to the discussion.
Thank you. The next question is from Piran Engineer from Motilal Oswal Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Congrats on the quarter. Just with reference to the NBFC business, I noticed that the share of CPs is rather high at 24%. So has it always been this high, or are you just more opportunistic right now given the low rates? And also, how does this compare with the maturity profile of your assets?
Right, we are opportunistic because we did feel that, you know, rates, short-term rates are likely to soften given what's happening with inflation. So it is slightly different to what we've seen in the past. But we have a good mix. We have a good match for our ALM, because although we may go short term, we have several bank lines that we don't draw. We have undrawn lines from the bank that are always usable in case we require longer term funding. But really, the broad answer to your question is this is opportunistic to capture the current move in interest rates in the market.
Okay, so how has it generally been then? Maybe a year or two back.
Correspondingly, our assets are also. Quite a few of our assets are on short term. The supply chain business, which we mentioned, is all short term, which is 60 days, 90 days. So it matches quite well with our assets as well. So, and this, I think the ratio which you mentioned, I think it varied from 20 to 25% in the last year or so. Yeah.
Okay, got it. That was all from my end. Thank you, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Sanjay Parekh from Reliance Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Congratulations on a great set of numbers across businesses. One is, if you can explain on the NBFC side, the retail business, how do we plan to scale up over 2 to 3 years? That will help. Secondly, are there any businesses where today they are less visible, and what would the plan to grow them, and any areas where you want to get in the financial services space? And the related part is, do you plan any inorganic acquisitions across your business?
Yeah, so our plan in terms of growing the retail and retailers, we are looking at retail products, as I mentioned earlier, personal loans, business loans, and that's what we are trying to drive. We are also looking at the SME and retail is our focus going forward growth engines. So if you look at today, it's around 32-33% of our overall SME and retail, which we want to really grow forward. And our strategy is to really build our own channel where direct acquisition model is there. Our own sales managers and feet on the street acquire this business. And also, we look at the third-party channels. There are channels which is national distributors. There are DSAs. So we are looking at all modes of distribution in terms of reaching out and acquiring customers. Apart from that, as I mentioned earlier, digital platform, we have built a digital platform where we acquire small business loans, and we have started acquiring MSME loans, which is the ticket size of around 4 lakh, 5 lakh. So we have started acquiring these customers. We are building same online digital capability for our consumer loans also. We have started doing personal loans through online digital platform. We are looking at how do we extend this to other consumer products as well. So that's our strategy in terms of really reaching out to the retail, consumer, and SME.
Yeah, thank you.
So you had two other questions in terms of other businesses' visibility. I think what you see is really the entire range of businesses we have. And as I said in my opening remarks, we're looking to grow each one of these businesses in the segments in which it operates. So I think you should expect to see every business segment in which we operate, that we will look to gain market share in that segment in which we operate. As far as inorganic opportunities are concerned, Sanjay, we are always open, always keen, but it just has to meet our strategic and financial hurdles. And I think that tends to be a slightly more difficult task than just the openness with which we're willing to look at these things. Because just valuations in the market are such that it's not always easy to find a way for us to be able to create value. But we are open, we are opportunistic. If we see something that works at levels that make sense for us, we are more than happy to look at it.
Yeah, thanks a lot. And one last question is NBFC and the housing finance has, of course, grown quite well. Now, without getting to the number, can we expect the growth rates to be very high in the next 2-3 years?
I don't know what is very high, Sanjay, but I think...
25% plus?
Sorry?
25% to 30% plus?
Yeah, I think 25% we should be able to work towards in the next couple of years, for sure.
Okay. Thank you very much and great results. Thanks.
Thank you,
sir. Thank you. The next question is from Kunal Shah from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yeah, congratulations for good set of numbers. So firstly, in terms of the housing finance business, so we have reached almost, 4,600-700 crores of AUM. So when do we see ourselves reaching the optimal ROA and ROE? So I'm not sure as to what is the overall profitability. It seems like around about 6 odd crores of PBT, if I'm right. But when do we expect to reach the steady state over there?
So we are looking at a 5 years of operations to get the optimal ROEs and ROAs in this business. And we are 2 years in this. So in the next 3 years, we should look at an ROE of 15% plus.
Okay. And today, the EBT is around about 6 odd crores in this quarter?
So the last quarter was 4.2. So 4 crores was the PBT in the first quarter.
4 crores. Okay. And so in terms of the leveraging, if I have to look at it, both in terms of say the housing as well as say in the other lending book. So in housing, how do we see it? So today we have almost 420 odd crores of a net worth and 4,800 crores of a book. So maybe almost 11-12x leveraging. And even on the financing side, against 5,000 crores of a net worth, we have almost more than 7x leverage out there. So with the growth, we will see the similar kind of infusion in both the entities?
So I think firstly your leverage numbers are wrong. The leverage for last year would be 10.3, not 11 as you said for housing finance. And it will be about 5.9 for NBFC. And these are closing numbers. So I think you should take an average number. The average in both
okay.
cases is lower.
Yeah.
The leverage is not as high as you're making it out to be.
Okay. No, but so in terms of if we are planning, so I think the growth out there in housing will definitely be much higher on this kind of a base. And even on the financing, we have highlighted that 25-30% growth is something which is, say, possible. So to that extent, maybe in terms of the equity infusion, how should we assume in terms
yeah,
of...
Yeah, you should assume the same kind of leverage ratios.
So 6x and around about 11-12.
Yeah, which is what I said, 5.5 to 6 times and broadly 8.5 to 10 times. Yeah.
Okay.
8 to 9.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind our participants that you may enter star and one to ask your questions. The next question is from Rishabh Parekh from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi guys, congratulations on a good set of numbers. Just had a couple of questions. One was in terms of the loan book composition that we give out, is it 2% is digital unsecured lending? So is this the MSME 4 to 5 lakh rupee average ticket size loans?
No, this is around 15 to 20 lakh ticket size loan, which is a business loan. And this will also have personal loans, which is around 15 lakh ticket size.
And what are, how is the, you know, if this is going to be the growth driver in the future, just wanted to get a sense of how the NPAs, because these are unsecured loans, how is the NPA experience that we've had so far and what is the remedies in case of default?
Our initial experiences have been very good. We haven't had major surprise in this business. We want to take it step by step. As I said, the growth area for us will be SME, which is slightly higher segment in terms of the ticket size and where the cash flows and the security is also there. This
right.
is unsecured. So our overall growth drivers will be the SME business where we have the cash flows as well as the collateral, which can be real estate, the promoter's residence, his factory and all. And this segment, which is, and we price for risk. So here you have the margins of around 10% plus in this business. As I said, initial days, we use the credit bureau quite effectively and try and see how we really have a better customer selection in terms of where our experiences are better.
Right, and in terms of when, you know, the presentation mentions that we're looking to get into consumer durable financing at some point, so just some more color on that.
So, we are looking at building an online digital capability for our consumer durable business. Later, later part of this year, which is quarter three, quarter four, we are looking at starting this business. So we want to use, as I mentioned, online digital platform with a lot of data analytics, which can be used for pre-approved, and we can really reach out to the stores. And our model will be slightly different. We don't want to. Because the margins or the absolute revenue in this business, because of the lower ticket sizes, is quite small. We are looking at how do we build a capability where the delivery is in line with the revenues.
Right, and just one last question. The HDFC Bank Assurance tie-up is now operational. Just wanted to get a sense of what was the growth rate in gross premium that we can expect this year in your life insurance business, and how much of that do you expect will be contributed by the banker tie-up?
So difficult to talk about how much HDFC will contribute per se this year. We don't get into individual relations per se. You know the size of HDFC Bank.
Right.
What we're doing is they're opening up channels to us so that as we get comfortable with the channel, we open up other channels to be able to start distributing.
Mm.
So we started in July, so I think this will gather momentum through the rest of this year.
Mm.
But given just the scale and size of the HDFC opportunity, we are very hopeful in terms of this becoming a reasonable part of our overall sales numbers. But in terms of the overall sales, as I said, last year we ended with 35% growth in individual. First quarter growth is just under 30%. So it seems like there's good momentum in the market for that kind of growth rate in the life insurance business.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of HR Gala from Finvest Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, congratulations, sir, for the new avatar of our company. Hello.
Yes, hello, thank you.
Yeah, just a couple of questions. Number one, do we have any plans to get into the microfinance field?
No, we don't have any plans.
Not at all? As a strategy to get more into the retail part?
No, not at all.
Not at all? Okay. Secondly, sir, in keeping with the Birla tradition, currently it appears that the AUM that we have and the loan book that we have is very minuscule from the Birla standard. Now, Birlas are, number one in several fields. You take it cement or you Grasim in VSF, VFI, all the businesses. So what exactly are you aiming at, say, not today, tomorrow, but say over a 5 years period, where do you see the NBFC and housing finance businesses?
Like I said, when I started out, our aim is to grow faster than the market. So that is what we will do across our businesses. That's why I talked to you about the AMC is increasing market share, NBFC is increasing market share, housing is increasing market share. So we will continue to do that. I think different businesses, structures, industries work differently. Cement has one industry structure, aluminum has another industry structure. Even within financial services, there are multiple industry structures.
Okay.
Same rule across everything.
But okay.
Our DNA is very much about building leadership, and I think that DNA is very much part of our DNA as well.
Mm-hmm. So you look at a rapid growth that's quite probable.
See, I think there's a difference between rapid growth and sensible, profitable growth. I would rather that we have sensible, profitable growth rather than rapid growth.
Let's okay.
The question earlier that Rakesh was asked about loan book.
Mm-hmm.
I think the market is very large. There are many opportunities we could really want to, if we wanted to, could grow very aggressively in. That's just our DNA. We like to do things in a measured way. We'll put our toe in if we're comfortable. We like what we see. We'll grow faster. And we've done that across the board. You can see we've been several businesses. We'll start, get comfortable with the model, and then we'll be able to scale up.
Okay.
That is the way you should see our group functioning. We're not going to do anything reckless and not anything that, that is just a flavor of the month.
Okay. So my next question will be, in our current NBFC, we are mainly into the wholesale business and we are now trying to get into retail. So how will that alter our risk return metrics going ahead?
So firstly, we are not largely wholesale. I think firstly, if you look at the way we are split today, about 50% excluding housing and over 40% including housing comes from what we consider SME and retail customers.
Okay.
So look at it that way, almost half our book today is already semi-wholesale, semi-retail or retail.
Okay.
So I think it's wrong to think of us as an institutional player alone. We do have a strong presence in the institutional segment, which we are very proud of, and we're not ashamed to say we're good at that segment. But that doesn't mean we're not in other segments. In fact, if you look at the diversity of our customer and product profile, we come up with a few players in the market who has a really diversified portfolio across customers and products. And that is what differentiates us.
We're
neither totally wholesale nor are we totally retail. That allows us to get a much more balanced approach to our business. As you know, risk and return go together in this business. If you're willing to take a little bit more risk to unsecured loans and some of the other product categories that exist, then our return will also go up. And we
That's
have to
right.
take that risk because we want to make sure that we get the mix right.
Okay. As far as our consumer durables,
maybe request you to return to the queue for your follow-up question, please.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, to ask a question, please press star and one. The next question is from Dipen Shankar from Trustline PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. Thanks a lot for the opportunity.
Just want to get a sense on this pre-demerger cost of acquisition of equity shares for Aditya Birla Capital.
We are working and we will be intimating to all the shareholders. Give us time because basically this will be on the fair valuations as per the index.
Okay.
So we are working on it.
Okay. Any timeline?
You will be getting in a month's time.
Okay. Sure. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from Rishabh Palik from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, just had a quick follow-up. Ajay, you mentioned that the 700 crores that you raised from PI would be largely sufficient for your growth this year. Is that my understanding correct?
It would be largely sufficient, not entirely sufficient. That's what I said.
Okay.
So, you know, it really depends on the growth we'll have in different businesses.
Hmm.
So it would be a large chunk. It won't be the entire amount.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The next question is from Sneha Ganatra from Shubkam Ventures. Please go ahead.
Anything on the cost to income ratio we are targeting for the next 5 years?
For which business?
For NBFCs as well as affordable housing segment?
Yeah, so NBFC, our cost to housing last year was 27%.
Mm-hmm.
I think that went up a little bit because we were investing in our digital business. We expect longer term you should see around 25% cost to income in that business.
Okay, and on the housing front?
On the housing front, we should come down to around 40-odd percent, 40-42% cost to income.
Okay. And could you share some strategy on the affordable housing? Which are the areas we are focusing? Any geographies?
So we have an existing housing finance business and we are present in 40-odd locations. We are looking at how do we create a hub and spoke business model for our affordable housing business. So give you an example. If we are there in Jaipur market, so affordable housing, if we want to set up, that will be 30-40 kilometers away from Jaipur city, and that we will work as a hub and spoke. We are also looking at how do we create a business where the Aditya Birla Group ecosystem has big plans, or anywhere we have a big presence, we will try and create a distribution there so that we can reach out within the group. We are trying to tie up with different agencies in terms of how do we reach out as an employee offering rather than acquiring just one individual customer. So I think these will be our priorities for our affordable housing, and that's how we want to build this business.
And what are the borrowings mix for the on the housing segment you're using?
So I think very similar. We are in line with our assets, which is long-term in nature. We have looked at raising NCDs, which is 3 to 5 years. We have bank term loans and also commercial paper, which is short-term. So it's quite well diversified in line with our assets.
Okay, and you're targeting for 25 to 30% growth in both housing as well as the NBFC segment, right?
So I think we will have a healthy growth rate. As you can see, over the last 2-3 years, we have had a very good growth rate. We will continue to do growth, which Ajay mentioned, which is faster than the industry and better than the industry. But we can't put a figure to that.
Okay. Got it. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may enter star and one at this time. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Srinivasan for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
So thank you very much for joining us on this call. As I said, this is a important event for us. It's the first time we're going under the banner of Aditya Birla Capital and the last time we'll be addressing you as an unlisted company.
So we look forward to your support and your guidance as we move forward in our journey. Thank you very much.
Thank you. In case of any further queries, you may contact Pramod Bohra or Romy Talwar. On behalf of Aditya Birla Capital Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.